The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. We'll kick things off in the Premier League at St Mary's, where Southampton beat Chelsea by 2-1. Chelsea took the lead through Raheem Sterling, but Lavia then 5 minutes later will get the equaliser. And just before the break, Armstrong with the winner. Southampton thoroughly deserving all 3 points as they pick up another win as we welcome in Frank Leboeuf and Gab Marcotti to the show. Craig, they were really bad today.
Yeah, but unsurprisingly so. I mean, yeah, they got a victory home at Leicester at the weekend, going down to 10 men, I'll give you that. Dug it out, but this is just, again, away from home, 3-0 away at Leeds, in control here at Southampton. Well, take the lead against, let's be honest, I've got Southampton for relegation this year, right? And I know they get results. Last year they got results, and then it petered out quickly. And it went down fast, and they survived in the end. But this squad is thin. This is a squad, this is a team, and nothing against the manager. I think he does a terrific job in the circumstances. But they sell their best players, and they bring in youngsters. Like the boy they brought in, the lad they brought in at the back, Belicoccio, from Bochum in Germany. Another terrific game. But none of these players would get near the Chelsea team. Broya was on loan last year. Did a great job at Southampton, but he's gone back, he's on the bench. It's another unacceptable performance. Unacceptable. And I know they've got one or two out, but so what? This is not personnel related. This is performance related. And that performance, again, just was not good enough.
Unacceptable. Is that a good word to describe that performance, Frank?
It was, and when you play 15 minutes, because it's true that the first 5 minutes Southampton were better than Chelsea, then Chelsea woke up and play okay for 15 minutes. Sterling had three chances, scored on the last one. And after that goal, nothing. That was it. You have to reach another level of performances if you want to achieve something. Four games, the only game that they played well was against Spurs. But otherwise, that's not enough. If you want to have the chance to win a Premier League, which everybody does because we all think that City or Liverpool maybe are better, you have to go very much better in your performances, which is not what we can see. It's like sometimes they don't know how to play. It's like they don't know each other. It's like they have they miss so much Kante in the middle of the park, you know, to get the ball back, to put some level of pace that they don't have with, especially with Jorginho. With Kovacic, a little bit better, but defensively, in the middle of the park, they're nowhere near it. And you win the battle and you win your games in the middle of the park. On top of it, Koulibaly is not there yet. He had a very good goal against Spurs, but that defensively is not there yet. On the second goal they conceded with Thiago Silva, they don't talk to each other. So they both follow Adams, but Armstrong is free. So many things to adjust in order to get something, but we're already there. Four games. Eighth in the table, maybe if Arsenal and others wins, they can be so far away already. It's not too late because it's only the fifth day or the fourth day, I don't remember. But it's not enough, really not enough.
What's going wrong, Gab?
I think a number of things. I mean, we've talked about before about how Tuchel's been under a tremendous amount of pressure. He's got a large amount of baggage, some of it his doing, some of it, you know, the whole transition, losing all the people at the top of the club, from Marina Granovskaya to Peter Cech, to essentially having to be sporting director and coach all summer long. But then there's things that, you know, I think are in his control. I generally don't understand this insistence on the Havertz-Sterling partnership. Maybe Broja isn't fully fit. Maybe they could have moved earlier for a striker if that's what you think they needed. You know, you chuck Ziyech in after basically ignoring him and, you know, nearly selling him all summer long. I don't know. I guess Reece James perhaps unavailable, but, you know, Azpilicueta at right back, Cucurella at left back tells you that I'm basically going to have four static defenders and where's my width going to come from? So all these things together, it just leaves a team that feels very, very flat. And sure, they can go out, though. They've spent money on Fofana. They might spend more money on another striker between now and the end of the window. But this is so far away from the methodical Tuchel and kind of the planning Chelsea that, you know, we'd been used to in previous years.
This is what you had to say after the game. I don't know if concern is the right word. I absolutely dislike to lose. It's the second time this season, and I don't think it takes a lot to beat us. And this I don't like. It's not enough to play 20, 25 minutes on the level we won. It is too easy to put us off balance, to beat us, to confuse us. It's too easy.
Well, it's his problem then, isn't it? I mean, it's his problem. It's his players. It's his team. I get it. I get Gab's point. There's no Granite Sky, there's no Czech, there's no Bruce Bock, but is he not taking training?
Right.
I mean, if he's not taking training, yeah, and he's not at the training ground, and he's off making phone calls left, right and centre, maybe I'll give him a bit. But just because he's got a bit of extra baggage for 2 or 3 months, what's that got to do with the team? Are they all just feeling sorry for themselves all of a sudden? Don't they know what they're doing? There's the fact that there's no bridge between him and the ownership in terms of the transfer structure. Does that mean he can't play a back three or different players or different wing backs or different front three? Does it? No, I don't think so. So I don't know why we're looking for excuses.
Right.
They're at Southampton. Southampton are a selling club. Just before the season started, there was almost a mutiny in this club. Well, Ralph Hasenhüttl might have been after match day one, I don't know. Ralph Hasenhüttl, the players, this. You look at the squad. This is Chelsea. And it's not an anomaly. Look at their performance at Leeds. Mm. They scrapped through against Everton. At Goodison, Everton, who are hopeless at the moment. So, yeah, they had a period against Tottenham that was pretty good. But I'm sorry. You know, we're all trying to find excuses here. Yeah, there's no striker, and yeah, they need players. Who doesn't need players? Apart from Man City and Liverpool, tell me who doesn't need players.
You look at Kai Havertz, for example, Craig. He had that chance.
Kai Havertz is,
and he's through, and no one thought he was going to score.
Listen, I've told you on this show, all season, last season, there's nobody there will give it, even Sterling. I mean, hot and cold, he's got his goal. I know he's, I think it was, is it 2-3-2 or whatever, I can't remember. But he's inconsistent. And it won't last over the course of a season. I've told you about Havertz. It's all very well. Great in the Champions League final. That's great. Fantastic moment for him. There are 50 games a year. Timo Werner's gone back and scored a hat-trick in Germany.
Yeah.
What does that tell you all you need to know? But way back home where he can soft-soap it in his own country, he came in here, couldn't cut it. Couldn't cut it in England. Havertz is the same. Mount's not playing well. They'll all be crying here in America about Christian Pulisic, the usual cronies. It's up to these players to do it. Hakim Ziyech, he's lightweight. When he came in under Lampard, they were all worried about coming from Holland and how he looked injury prone and weak, and they had to strengthen him up. These are millions and millions of dollar signings. Mm. But it's up to the manager to put it right. He had a chance with Lukaku last year. It didn't work out, partly the player, partly everything else. We understand that. It's his stick. He needs to sort it out.
Frank?
Yeah, I have to agree with Craig. You know, I think even his body language, I'm talking about Tuchel at the end of the game, you know, the last 5 minutes, he was nodding, not agreeing with what he was seeing, but not reacting to what he was seeing. And for the players, I think they're too comfortable. I mean, the lifestyle is nice in London. They have lots of money, so it's a beautiful city. Maybe a player is good when he's really at the edge, when he feels that somehow he can lose his spot. You know, he needs to be not well seated, not really stable, because he needs to react. He needs to be put in the edge to make sure that he's going to give 100%. It doesn't seem that way at Chelsea. All players, they seem to be okay. You know, you lose, you lose. You win, you win. That's fine. You finish third, it's okay. You have to be more, you need to have more ambition. You need to feel in danger. They don't feel in danger. They seem to be okay. And I hate that. When I see that, I get upset, you know. I see other clubs. Yeah, you can say everything you want, you know, about let's say Leeds. You know, when I see the player, I see the game today, they feel in danger. They go for it. They're far away from the same level as Chelsea, but they go for it. When I see Newcastle, the same thing. Chelsea, comfortable. That's okay. Until when? For what? Needs a reaction for sure.
Well, we see a reaction in the transfer window, Gab. Obviously, it shuts on Thursday. Heavily linked to Aubameyang over the last couple of weeks. Any chance they could bring in someone like that?
I think there's plenty of chance because Barcelona need to raise money. And, you know, if they're not going to shift the pie, they'll shift Aubameyang. But the question is, I mean, what problems does Aubameyang solve for you when you consider, you know, what he did in his last 12 months at Arsenal, especially those last 6 months? Does he have the characteristics to go and lead this line? Is he another front to goal forward? You know, I think all these things are very valid. And you get this uneasy sense now that Tuchel's like, oh, look, I worked with him at Borussia Dortmund 8 years ago. You know, I'm sure nothing's changed. It's the same guy. You know, that's the vibe that's coming. And I disagree with Frank a little bit. I think, you know, some of the Chelsea players, they're not comfortable. They're unhappy with the situation. They're embarrassed by some of these performances. And they feel this ton of uncertainty with players coming, going, players being linked. And the issue is right now, I don't think Tuchel is a calming influence on the club in the way he was when he first took over. Tuchel right now, for myriad reasons, I think is a bit of an unsettling influence. And in some ways, the best thing that can happen is the window closes and Tuchel gets back to work on the training pitch. And hopefully, if you're a Chelsea fan, regains his mojo.
Well, you had Rudiger gone, Christensen gone. Let's be honest about it. Azpilicueta wanted to go.
Yep.
He was desperate for a move to Barcelona, and when it didn't come off, he put pen to paper on another deal. Not to question his professionalism, but he wanted to be somewhere. And I can understand that. But Barcelona went on a different route, whether it was financial at the time or personnel. And Koundé came in and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, it's going to stick with the manager here. Right. And I know change of ownership and I get all that, but he has to solve that in the meantime. It's no different to the guys at the bottom trying to solve it. You know, Lampard's trying to solve it to save his job. Parker's lost his job. There's others down there. Ralf Hasenhüttl's been fighting for results. They're all dealing with problems.
How easy to solve is this situation?
Well, look at the personnel. We're not talking today about Chelsea v Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal or Tottenham, right? We're talking about another abject performance against a team, when all said and done, will probably be somewhere around the bottom six in the table, at best. And that's understandable. So it's solvable by these players on this graphic, if that's the 11 he puts out, playing better.
Right.
Because the bottom line is, the teams that he is putting out at the moment are not playing well enough. And guess where the buck stops? With the manager. End of the day.
Frank, is this easy to solve, or is this a deep-rooted problem, do you think?
Well, it's not easy. You know, I know Gab, I heard what Gab said, you know, about the fact that some players are very uncomfortable and they don't agree with the situation. So it's up to them to react. It's up to the players to react as well. It's why I say I find them comfortable. But it's true that it's up to Tuchel to do something about it. If he's not happy, and we consider the fact that against when he was coaching the Paris Saint-Germain, he couldn't do anything because of the character, the personality of the players. But now he hasn't got that kind of personalities. He can do whatever he wants. He's really the boss. And if he wants to change something, he can do so. And you know, it's really up to the person that he put on the field that he will have a reaction, he will have some good wins. But he has to change the mentality of the dressing room. I really feel that there is no reaction. If the games doesn't go their ways, they don't care. They keep on doing, they don't rush, I would say. We don't feel the character of the team. And yes, it's up to Tuchel to change that, or otherwise they're going to drown and nothing's going to happen.
Meanwhile, of course, more games to come this week, including Manchester United away against Leicester. They go into that game, of course, off the back of two wins that saw Lisandro Martinez start at centre-back. Yesterday, there's a heated discussion between Marciano and Robbo. Robbo's comments upsetting a lot of Manchester United fans.
And I'm really glad that he took Maguire out, because he was with De Gea together. They were not good for the team, especially if you want to build up from behind and you want to go dominant. So I'm happy with Varane and Martinez together.
I've watched Martinez. He played well against Liverpool. I watched the game really closely on Saturday against Southampton. And he might be tigerish. He might be aggressive at times. He got bullied by Shea Adams on two or three occasions, and Shea Adams should have scored.
Yeah, in the end, he didn't lose any, headers for a very short guy. You know, it's a new combination.
The stats might say, but he lost some serious challenges. And he was out-muscled. Che Adams bodged him off the ball and should have scored from 12 yards. It was poor, poor defending. And I don't think over the course of the time, Martinez, everybody wants to say he's aggressive and he's this and he's that. I've watched him four games. Three, I think he's been poor. One, he played very well. That's not a good average.
No, probably it's not a good average, but the statistics show different. But name me a defender who is flawless and never makes a mistake or never gets bullied in the Premier League.
I love angry Robbo in his pajamas shouting about Martinez.
Well, Saturday wasn't a perfect game for Man United, but it was a clean sheet.
Right.
Look, he's just in the door. The question you've got to ask yourself is he the better of... Is the partnership of Varane and Martinez the best they've got at the moment that's liable to make the least mistakes? The answer is yes, right? It's not a perfect science, but the answer at the moment, with the others that are available and the mistakes they've made, and bear in mind he knows this player well and he probably knows what he's going to get from him to an extent... then I don't really see what the issue is. Yeah, there's going to be flaws. There's flaws with Varane. He's not brilliant coming out with the ball, with the ball at his feet, but he has other facets of his game that have made him hugely successful. So, look, do I think Martinez and Varane is the great partnership at the back? Probably not. But it's better than the alternatives, that's what I would say.
Frank, what did you make of Robbo's comments?
I would have to agree with him. I think Martinez doesn't give me 100% of insurances when I see him defending. He's aggressive, yeah, for sure, but he doesn't seem to be accurate in some decision that he made, especially last weekend. But I agree with Greg, you know, so far it's a good alternative, and if it works, you know, it works. And I would have to be Maguire's lawyer a little bit, in a way that, yes, Maguire didn't do well, but since Maguire was left out, you know, Ten Hag decided to not play from the back, from behind, and then starting to start nice actions, you know, and rally from the back. They kick long balls like they should have done with Maguire, and they play a little bit further up that they never did with Maguire. So it's worked so far so good with Martinez and Varane, but I want to see it with stronger or thinner or more technical defender how Martinez can cope with them, because he seems to be so aggressive that I think he's going to make some mistakes.
Right, but I think you've only got to look at Che Adams and Inaribo when he came on in this game against Chelsea. They were able to give some roughness to two very experienced centre-backs and two big and powerful ones, 38-year-old Thiago Silva and Koulibaly. So, you know, they're two really physical players, and that's what Che Adams does. He's not there for subtlety. He's not a prolific goal scorer, but he puts himself about. Look, I'm not quite sure where to go here. I don't think I've heard anybody saying that Martinez is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I said to you a couple of weeks ago, when United were absolutely floundering, that he had to stick anybody in there that he thought was going to kick and fight and scrap and get some results and take the pressure off. And that's what he does.
Meanwhile, the defending champions have looked a little vulnerable at the back. Manchester City, of course, unbeaten still, but have been conceding goals for fun. Talk of a Kanji coming from Borussia Dortmund. What can you tell us about this, Gab?
I'm absolutely fascinated by this because, you know, you go back two, 3 years and Manuel Akanji was you know, a rising star among European defenders. And, you know, Dortmund snapped him up and they had big plans for him. And then possibly because, you know, Dortmund's been a bit of a zoo over the last couple of years, especially defensively, you know, his career seemed to fall off a cliff. And now he's got a year left on his contract. The report is that the bid is 17 million euros. You know, I think he's 25 years old. He's still got plenty of football ahead of him. I think this makes sense as a signing to add depth to the team. There's no big downside to Akanji. If working with Pep, he can go back and he can go back to be the player that he was and maybe even become the player that we thought he was going to become, then I think you've got yourself a very solid defender, a guy who's certainly very fast and who can, you know, and who can be, play a little bit with the ball. And I do think it's something they need because, you know, as we've seen, Ake's had injury concerns. Laporte had surgery. He's coming back. You know, he'll get back into training in September. So, you know, you end up being potentially, I mean, you never think you'd say this with City, a little bit low on numbers. Stones, it's fine. I don't think Stones is the second coming. So, you know, you are, that is one position where I think they could probably use more competition.
City in action against Nottingham Forest on Wednesday. Forest come into that game off the back of the defeat against Spurs. A game, of course, which saw Richarlison juggling the ball late on in the tie, which he got fouled from. A lot of people have had differing opinions on the way that the Brazilian was juggling, and obviously social media is full of opinion, and ex-pros coming out and having a go at Richarlison. It's interesting that the Brazilian hasn't held back regarding his response. We can just see here, cry more. I think that was to Didi Hamann, who was saying basically that he should got booked for the juggling. Jamie Carragher had a go as well. Do you mind any of this?
Well, we were talking about it the other, when it happened, I think.
Yeah.
Was it on Sunday?
Yes. Yeah, it would have been Sunday.
Well, look, he's been tweeting about it. He'll get plenty of time to tweet about it when he sat on the bench for Spurs.
Right.
So he's got lots of time to do it. I don't really have a major. A lot of players, I've seen a lot of people been upset about it.
Yeah.
The people that are ex-pros, like myself. I'm not upset about it. I mean, my point is, if that's what he wants to do, you've got to be prepared for what's coming.
Right.
And okay, it's not 30 years ago or 20 years ago when the rules were a little bit more lax and what was coming might have been a bit rougher, but you saw, I think the tackle was from Brennan Johnson. So players will take umbrage to stuff like that, but if he wants to do it, then that's right. That's his choice. All I'm saying is be prepared for a backlash from opposing players. And if that's what you want to do to wind them up, then that's your business.
Gabby seems to be enjoying this.
No, I just go back to what Jules said. We talked about this on the Gavin Jules show and compared it to what happened with Neymar a few years ago. Jules's main issue with this, and I leave it to the pros there to decide, is how crappy and unimpressive his juggling was. In the sense that if you're going to do that, then be Neymar and do a rainbow flick. But, I mean, that looked like something, you know, the man in the street might try to attempt. So if you're going to do it, you know, make it worthwhile.
Frank?
Well, the thing is, if you want to juggle and amuse people, you know, go to a circus. You know, if you play football, you're on the field, you have to respect everybody. The opponents, the fans, you know, and football are, you know, all over the thing. I hate that. It's disrespectful towards the opponent. You are leading and you play away from home and you're juggling. You know, I would have been facing him. It would have been worse, I tell you.
You would have kicked him, Frank.
For sure.
It's a bit like going down to a lower club.
Without crying, I tell you.
not suggesting that Forest are a lower club, been down in the champ. Oh, they're signing another player, by the way. Supposedly, is it Willy Bowley from Wolves?
Oh, there you go.
Can't wait to... Well, at least they're having a go. But it's a bit like, in some sense, you know, you go down to play a team in League 2 or whatever it is, and the FA Cup, and you're hamming them 6 or 7-0, and then you decide, because these guys are not...
Right.
Anywhere near as good as you, and are probably never going to play at that level. But it's the big day, and you start sort of juggling the ball. It's not quite, but it's along that kind of lines with Forrest just coming up. But as I say, it's an entertainment game. I don't like when Neymar does it either, and I don't really like when other players like Richarlison do it. But then don't complain if somebody... I would not slaughter anybody for coming in
right.
and just putting the boot in. I just wouldn't, because I know it would wind me up. It would wind me up for sure.
Just a reminder, well, extra time. Oh, go on, Gab, sorry.
No, I just say you wouldn't slaughter Brennan Johnson for coming in. I know he broke the code and everything. But surely, what I don't get is you go do that, and it's obvious he's going and kicking him because he's juggling. I don't understand why that isn't a straight red. Because if you do this for any other reason on the pitch, it's a straight red. I get it, Richarlison broke the code, whatever. But to go in such an obvious way, surely the referee has to take action, right?
Mark Clattenburg talked about that on yesterday's show. You can check that out over on YouTube. Also, of course, on YouTube, Extra Time. Craig back with us, as is Gab and Frank, to answer your questions.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com. Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So in the end, it finishes Leeds 1, Everton 1. Overall, oh, I know you're watching this one, Frank. Fair result. Leeds still need to create more chances.
Yes, true. They should have won that game, but Everton did everything they needed to do to get the draw with a little bit of luck. The Leeds reacted, in fact, instead of starting their games, you know, from the start, and they had to wait to be 1-0 down to react and to finally get back to the score, but they missed some chances as well. So I wouldn't say it's a fair result, because I think Leeds have more chances to win that game. But you know, hat off to Everton, who never seemed to give up. And I'm pleased for Frank Lampard. You know, he's still there as the coach, and with 3 points, you know, he's 15th. So it's not too bad. Let's see. Let's wait. What's going to happen to other clubs? But he's still alive.
Still alive. Just about, Gab. How much trouble is Lampard in potentially?
Look, I think this was a big result for them, because, you know, he's talked about what they're trying to do in the transfer window. I don't think Everton have spent money, or they've pledged to spend money between now and the end of the window. And certainly the noises coming from there are that, you know, they would assess the situation, you know, later on with Frank, and they've got faith in him and whatever. Obviously, though, if you keep losing games and you slip closer to the bottom three, it gets tough. So I think this is a point which I think strengthens them in whatever final moves they make. This window gets them a little bit of breathing time, and I think he knows he's going to be seriously evaluated in September and October.
But let's be honest, there's not a lot of people coming in doing a lot with that team.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of it stops with him, and he's the manager. They had that really, when they lost to Aston Villa, who are also struggling, they had a really good period right at the end where they sort of battered away but didn't get anything. But boy, they just need to pick some points up.
Of course, some had Frank Lampard to be the first Premier League manager who would be sacked this season. It is, in fact, Scott Parker, who has let go at Bournemouth today after that heavy defeat against Liverpool. He'll leave Bournemouth, currently sitting 18th in the table. Gab, is this... This isn't just results-led, is it? This was him coming out, criticising the owner, and seemed to be something that had been snowballing for a while.
Yeah, certainly the reports over here and the indication is that there were tensions between him and certain senior figures at the club, as well as the owner. This had kind of been going on all summer. I think that the owner's not stupid. You know, they look at the teams that defeated Bournemouth, where they draw points, and you know, obviously he's not being sacked because he lost to Liverpool, even because he lost 9-0 to Liverpool. There's deeper issues there, and you know, they feel if they make the change now, they can still turn things around and at least have a shot at staying up this season.
Big call early.
I'm not wholly surprised. I mean, it's not so much results as Gab mentioned. You know, a week before the season started, he basically come out in the local press and said these players are not good enough. Now they've been down, Bournemouth recently, and they know the pain of going down, and they've got a business model, and he runs the football department, and the owners run the business department, and they've made a decision, it seems at the moment, that they're not going to go big, and they're going to try and do it that way, a bit like Norwich, which hasn't been successful, but that's what they're going to try and do. And listen, if he knew that, if he's been lied to in the summer, if he was told he'd be getting 200 million, which is a lot of money, if he told he was getting 100 million to spend, and they've told him a pack of lies, I can understand him being upset, but I doubt that's the case. So he would have known their position and the restraints that he'd have been under. So he could have walked in the summer. Right, but to throw your players under the bus before the first game and say, well, you know, we just can't do it basically with these players, we need more, when you know there's not going to be a lot of new arrivals, and then after the defeat to Liverpool, you're basically sitting going, expect more of this. That's not what ownership wants to hear. Ownership wants to be on the same page. Even if they know they should be going out and throwing some money at it, they've made a decision. At the moment, that's not what they're going to do. So what they do need is a manager then that's trying to get the current squad on the same page. And they don't need a manager who's basically throwing the towel in and saying, if you don't give me money, there's not a cat in hell's chance we're going to stay up. That's a recipe, unless you're Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp, or one of these managers with a lot of money in the bank, that's a recipe for saying, see you later, we'll try somebody else.
Bournemouth in action against Wolves then on Wednesday. We'll be back, of course, to look back at that game, plus Manchester City in action, Arsenal and Spurs as well. You're doing 2 days in a row. You'll be all right?
I'm actually feeling a bit ill.
Well, yes, you're not the only one. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What about this then? After today's win, Roma are top of Serie A. Four games played, they remain unbeaten, just 2 points dropped. Their victory came today against Monza. The game really, Gab, that saw the arrival of Dybala.
Yeah, and look, Monza are not particularly good. They've really suffered kind of the shock of promotion. But that said, there's so many things to highlight, so many positives to highlight of Mourinho's Roma. You mentioned Dybala there. He looks fit. He looks hungry. Scored two goals. The first one especially. People had doubts about him physically. I mean, he ran basically 30, 40 yards, with a defender hanging off him and put the ball in the back of the net. But also equally impressive, and I think something people haven't really underscored, is that this Roma side have conceded one goal all season long. That was Vlahovic's free kick after 2 minutes when they played Juventus. That's impressive too. You know, people said there's so much attacking firepower. Can they still be solid at the back? Can they be solid at the back with Matic in midfield, whatnot? Well, I think they provided an answer to that. So right now Mourinho once again, you know, eighth king of Rome.
Well, very ninth
much king, because
so.
Totti's the eighth king.
Will he be still king come the end of the season, Gab?
That's a good question. He's, in terms of having the fan, getting buy-in from fans and local media, he's done everything right. Obviously, the winning the Europa Conference League helped. If you're asking, can they win the title in his second season after finishing, what was it, seventh, eighth last year, or sixth, pretty far back. I don't know. Others would have to falter. I think Inter and Milan still have stronger squads on paper. I think Juventus probably do as well, although, you know, they've been very much up and down, and Napoli's in the mix. But certainly, if their chances were, what, 5% at the start of the season, I think they've suddenly gone up quite a bit.
Meanwhile, we saw Inter Milan bounce back off that defeat against Lazio to beat Cremonese by 3-1. What a goal from Barella in this tie. A much-needed win, Gab.
Yeah, an important win as well, obviously heading towards the derby as well, which always, you know, plays in the backs of players' mind. And then the Champions League, of course, after that. There was no Lukaku for this game. He rested Lautaro later came on and scored. But really, I think it was a case of the midfield punishing Cremonese. The second goal, you said, Barella, phenomenal. First goal after the goalkeeper spills it on the back of a counter. Inter have to be good at kind of getting those scrappy goals. They have to realize that they're not going to go and dominate opponents every game, but they have to learn to be efficient. It is a confidence boost, and there could still be movement in the transfer window as well.
Yeah, some momentum then going into the Milan derby, as you mentioned, Gab. Something that maybe AC Milan are lacking, as they could only manage that 0-0 draw against Sassuolo today.
Yeah, this is not a good performance, and they could have lost. Domenico Berardi, of course, having his penalty saved by the unbelievable Super Mike Maignan in the Milan goal. This is really a game I think Milan will in many ways want to try to forget, because they were not affected, had some chances early on, seemed to kind of wane a little bit as the match went on. Sassuolo are a good side. They're a footballing side. They're a fearless side. They're a side that remains competitive, even as they often sell so many of their best players year after year. But I think more than the point, because there's no shame in drawing away to Sassuolo, I think it's the performance which Pioli's not going to like, as well as perhaps another injury to Alessandro Florenzi, who had to come off, and leaving Milan to finish the game with just 10 men.
Gabmancotti, as always, thank you very much. A lot more on the Milan derby this weekend on the latest edition of Gab and Jules podcast, I'm sure, which will drop on Thursday.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of Bayern, they're decked out in their Lederhosen and beer as well to celebrate the start of the new season.
It's already started.
Well.
They're a bit late, aren't they?
There you go.
To be fair, they could play in that.
Yeah, probably.
Although they did draw at the weekend, so...
There you go.
It's all to play for.
You ever worn Lederhosen before?
No.
No?
No. No plans to do so.
What if they gave you a beer with it?
I've held a beer.
Yes.
I'll do the beer, I'm not doing the other nonsense.
Stay tuned. Extra Time is next. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Gab Marcotti and Frank LaBeouf as well for Craig. Do you think the loss of Rudiger was bigger than Chelsea realised? They've given up 6 goals in the last 3 games and 2 to Southampton today in the first 45 minutes.
Well, I think they realised it was a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, he did tend to want to play a back three, which he didn't play today. Rudiger was ideal for that on the left side, marauding up and down as he would and being aggressive. And so, yeah, a bit Koulibaly coming in. Then you've got a 38-year-old and Thiago Silva who still looks amazingly fit.
Yeah.
It never gets any easier. So, yeah, I mean, it's just one of the big losses. But I still expect them to be doing better against the teams that they've played against. Maybe not Tottenham.
Right.
But, you know, three goals at Leeds, 2 at Southampton. Where was the other ones? Can't remember.
Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester could have been worse, albeit they were down to 10 men when Conor Gallagher gets sent off in the first half. But yeah, he's a blow. I mean,
are they right for top four?
No, because I haven't got them in it.
No?
So.
Well, definitely not then. Looking good for Arsenal.
They're looking
good for my Arsenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Go on, Frank.
You know what? Fans have to learn to be patient. You know, I remember when Antonio Rudiger signed for Chelsea, he didn't have the performance that he had at the end. He was struggling at first, you know, so I think it's fair to be critical towards Koulibaly and his first performances, but we have to be patient. You know, nothing comes like immediately for everybody. It comes from Alan, it might come from others, but from others, you know, it takes a little bit of time to become spectacular and performant like Antonio Rudiger has been, you know, most of the time for Chelsea, but not at first.
You were having to go Martinez before in the show. You were saying that he hasn't convinced you so far. Where's your patience there?
Because I feel the personality of Martinez. Martinez likes to play the Russian roulette sometimes when he go for a tackle, when he go for a ball. It's like he never thinks twice because he feels that he's sure he's going to get it. So he put himself in danger. It's what I feel. Right now it's what I feel. But I never said he was bad. I said so far it works. You know, with Varane, that was a question, you know, and we were talking about Maguire before. But if so far so good, I would say with Martinez, but I want to see in bigger games how it works. That's it.
I think there is an element of patience and generally with fans, the paying fans that go to the games.
Mm.
Okay, now and again, it gets the frustration spills over with all clubs and all players. But I think there is an element of patience within those fans. However, there are no patients in social media.
No.
Just morons.
Well, and we fuel that as well, to be fair.
Who?
Our daily show, we come on, we criticise players.
Well, I think we try and, I can't speak for anybody else, we try and take a relatively balanced look at an overall performance or time frame or injuries or whatever. Don't put us in the same bracket as some of these idiots that are on social media every day harping away. Don't.
Gab, does a healthy Dybala make Roma the favourites to win Serie A?
Well, Dybala, like we saw today, you want to talk healthy for the first goal when when he goes and he basically runs the length of the pitch just about defending the ball. Certainly it takes them to another level. Now, favorites or City, yeah, I don't know. But what we do know is Jose Mourinho and Roma are top of the table right now. And obviously they're defending Europa Conference League champions, although they obviously won't be defending the title this year. There's a lot to like. The weird thing is, for all the stars and all the attacking firepower with Zaniolo and Pellegrini and Tammy Abraham and Dybala, it's at the back where they've been most impressive. Just the one goal conceded in the first four games, and that was that impressive Vlahovic free kick. And, you know, that's what Mourinho, I think, has really gotten right thus far. If he can unlock the attacking potential, they can certainly challenge for the title, maybe even win it.
Oh, give us a Dom percentage, Gab.
Well, they're not my favorites, but, I don't know. If in the summer I would have had them at maybe 5%, I think now I can bump it up to 20%, maybe.
Oh, that's quite a bump.
I was going to say 6.
I know, I thought he was going to say 6.
Wouldn't it be good, though? No?
What if he said 6?
I think, you know, when, you know, the demise of Mourinho,
right?
I mean, it's a long, long way off. But it would be a heck of an achievement.
Certainly would.
Be the greatest of his career, but he would tell you that.
Well, probably. Finishing second with United, though, isn't it? Hi, Frank and Craig. Is Everton's Gordon worth the price tag that he's currently valued at? I do not see it, but maybe you as former players do.
I don't know. They were about $4,
right.
16 for 4, and I could probably get, if they were in the Premier League,
yep,
they'd probably be about, I don't know, a grand.
Yep. Well, Scotty Parker's cardigan was 1600, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yep.
What, did the shop have big windows? Who told you it was 1600?
Someone sent it to me.
Wow.
Apparently.
Really?
Yeah, you know one of the three stripes there?
Yeah, I bought one with two. They got it cheaper. Like, the answer to the question is, the valuations are just crazy. It's a bit like Antony to Man United. You have to accept that it is what it is. I mean, Grealish hasn't exactly worked. Lukaku was huge money. It hasn't worked. You could say the fee for Fofana. Gibbs White to Nottingham Forest with all the add-ons is an awful lot of money, not that much. Who is worth the money now?
Is he any good?
Yeah, I mean, he's a bit raw, but he's very fast, he's very direct, it's hard to know because he hasn't, to my knowledge, had a real consistent run of 20 or 30 games, I don't think. But he's a talent, but there's a lot of talent out there. It's whether he could package it all together and come up with the end product. But he's very fast and he's very direct.
Frank, it's the first time really you've been on since this Pogba. I want to talk about Paul Pogba, because it's the next question, Frank, because it's the first time you've been on since this extraordinary story just exploded over the last 72 hours. And they asked, will Pogba play for France in the upcoming World Cup after he allegedly put a curse on Mbappe?
Well, in fact, we go back to the problem that Didier Deschamps had with Benzema, with the tape problem, and that he had to put Benzema out, you know, until he knew better. And if there is some allegation about Pogba putting a curse on Mbappe, he will have to do the same. He has no choice but putting Pogba out. Right now, it's not really a problem, because Pogba is injured. So far, it's like that. But you wanted to
you
say something?
You couldn't make this up, could you? I mean, you couldn't make this up, Frank. This would be, obviously these things are alleged at the moment, but I've never known. You sit at a press conference, you say, why have you omitted Paul Pogba from this very important World Cup? Well, he put a curse on one of the players. I mean, you couldn't make, allegedly. You just couldn't make this stuff up.
The story is nuts, absolutely nuts. Gab?
Frank, I don't know if we can put on the same level somebody getting involved with bad guys who are blackmailing Mathieu Valbuena over a sex tape, which is real, right? And somebody allegedly putting a curse, which is all made up nonsense, on a teammate. I mean, one is real blackmail, the other one is imaginary stuff, assuming it's even real. Or do you believe in curses?
Well, I don't put that on the same level. I'm just saying that for the atmosphere, it's impossible if Pogba maybe did that, to put Pogba and Mbappe in the same team, because, you know, people will wonder, the players inside the dressing room will wonder, you know, if they can play together, and the atmosphere won't be nice. That's it. It's not about judging the level of accusation or what happened, really. That's it. Of course not.
We can't get into all the alleged stuff with the blackmail. I'll just leave that. But going back to the curses and stuff and all that, I mean, what the hell? Every time there's the French national team.
Right.
I mean, we had the players, didn't like that player, and then the parents in the stands at the games having a bit of a bickering. I don't know if they were fighting physically, but they were certainly having words. Now we have this. I mean, this stuff's just nonsense, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty sad, really.
I mean, the blackmail stuff, that is a different ball game altogether, and that will have to be sorted out. But Didi the shop must be sitting there going, oh my God.
I know, exactly.
Can't we just go on with it?
Final question, we go from that to this. Frank, your thoughts on me wearing shorts at a restaurant and Gab also wearing shorts on the podcast?
Well, I told you, and I put that on the... On Instagram, you know, where I said, no, I don't understand your wife, you know, that's the real mystery, that she can stay with you for so long, you know.
Well, that's not just the shorts.
You're not behaving properly.
that's
what I mean too, because I know the personality of the guy. But the shorts is, it's like he's doing it on purpose, since I said that the shorts shouldn't be worn, you know, in the restaurant. I think he does it on purpose to upset me. It's like next time he's going to be in shorts and he's going to be eating pizzas with apple pie on it.
You've been to my house, Frank. You know how close it was. It a 10-minute walk to town, 10-minute walk to the restaurant. So it's hot at the moment. It's, 90 degrees here at the moment.
Summer.
So shorts is surely... The fashion that has to be chosen to keep you cool, and I also look good in them as well, so that's not a problem either.
You don't look good.
Look, beautiful.
Well, you think you look good? No, the thing is not that. You're going to a restaurant. You have to look good for your wife. You have to please her. If she comes in pajamas and she goes to the restaurant with pajamas, you would be happy to see her. No, you want her with a nice dress. You want to see her with a nice dress with high heels. You know, like going out. You're like trying to seduce each other. It's like you're going on the beach. You know, you're not going to the bloody restaurant like that.
But
you're not celebrating anything.
There's not a lot of muscle mass in those legs.
No, you don't look good.
To be fair, it's a good job you don't weigh much. Those legs have struggled to hold you up.
Gab, you have an opinion on everything. Where do you stand on shorts and restaurants?
I think unless you're in a seaside location, or maybe like, you know, the pool bar, or like the grill when you just finished playing tennis or something. But unless you're in a resort context in the evening, I don't think it's appropriate to wear shorts to a restaurant. It is, however, appropriate to wear shorts in the summer on a podcast with Jules. And you know, it is my way of looking good for my adoring fans.
Double standards.
Absolutely
double standards. That is it.
So if you go to Dubai...
Where do you stand on shorts?
Where do I stand on shorts?
Yeah. Would you wear them to a restaurant?
I have done recently.
Yeah, there you go.
In my local town.
There you go.
8 o'clock at night. It was about 90 degrees.
Yes, exactly.
If you're in Dubai, just to throw it out there, it's a very hot place this time of year.
Yeah.
Frank, you were in Dubai.
We played there, didn't we?
He played in Qatar.
Yeah, in Qatar.
Dubai and Qatar. It's not the same thing.
No, but it's still hot.
That's a generalization.
No, but it's still
it's the same place.
Still very hot places, is my point.
And it's 100 degrees, boiling. Would you wear your denims or trousers to go to a restaurant at night if everybody else was wearing shorts?
No, I wouldn't, because it's not my type of education. I go for lunch, I do that, and I will wear, you know, presentable, how do you say, shoes, and I will wear, I think, a polo like that.
Oh, I don't care what you're wearing,
if I would do so. But I will never, I don't want to feel comfortable going to a restaurant at night, if even if it's under 100 degrees, in a nice restaurant with shorts. It's not part of my education. It doesn't, I think.
I wore my slides.
Even Italians and French would say that's an insult of seduction.
I think
culture.
I'm quite.
You don't
I think
do
I'm
that.
Pretty. I like
night,
going to decent
in a
restaurants.
Nice restaurant.
I'm not like one or two of our other colleagues,
right?
Who just want to go where Groupon's tell them to go. So I think I'm half decent with that. But I went in casually with my
right.
slides on.
Right. Where do you stand? Where do you stand with sandals, Frank?
Slides.
Yeah. No, of course not. Sandals, no, for sure. No, very classy shoes, you know. How do you call that? Those boat shoes, you know, with laces, little laces, with shorts.
Oh.
And this color, that's fine. It's classy.
What if I wore these
Central
with shorts?
Side.
What if I wore them, Frank, with shorts? Are they all right?
Careful with your leg.
I don't see them. No, they're not. Oh, they're not.
Do you want to know what kind of top I'm wearing?
Next time I will wear some stuff and I will show you how you can go out with shorts. Yeah.
What's wrong? What are you going to say?
I wouldn't have seen them.
Oh, well, that's fair.
Well done.
That's it. Good stuff. Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of today's show. We will be back, of course, tomorrow for more. Craig, you're back in the studio. What day is it today?
I'm back Wednesday. I'm back Thursday.
Oh, I'm working Wednesday and Thursday as well.
Yep. I asked for it personally.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.